The land of Haith is beautiful and bountiful. From the views of the swirling ocean atop the pristine peak, to a lucky glimpse of the fourth moon in a pasture of bumbles, admiration can be found. There is a story on the lips of every small god that spans the land, and a journey in every form of nature. Villages of animal folk scatter the Haithland, connected by roads, seaways, and the occasional hot air balloon passage. Most folk are content staying within the comfort of their community, but to some, a journey is bound to call. Mina Leftfoot is a young moth tender, a rabbit with bright eyes and big ideas. Her journey from tower to tower, tending to the moths and delivering letters, will give Mina the chance to see the world and meet all the wonderful folk that make up the Haith. Today, we'll hear about one journey in particular. I wonder what is in store.
Second half, and I will briefly go over the journeying tools, and then we can begin our journey and talk about where we're going, where we came from, and what the world around us looks like at the time that the camera zooms in on us. Oh, excuse me, let me get that air out first, and then I will transition in somehow as we are back with Baldwin the Poet going on an adventure with Mina the Moth Tender. And as usual, before we start the adventure and ask our questions, I wanted to briefly touch on the journeying tools that we have at our disposal. They are basically a set of safety tools that are baked into the game that we can either reach for or lean on or ask at any point to either help our journey or help us converse over something that is happening in the fiction. There's about a paragraph for each of them, so to save us some time, I'm just going to read the tagline and give a brief explanation. But these journeying tools that we have at our use are, let's do this instead. If you want to go at a different way, or we're not sure on what's doing, you can always say, hey, I don't want to do that, let's try and do this instead. You can always ask, do we want to? If you're not sure about another option, but you still aren't sure about the way we're going, you can say, hey, do we want to do this? How does this sound to you? And we can talk through it. You can always ask where to next, if we're at potentially an impasse, or not sure where journeying is leading. You can say, hey, it's going pretty good right now, but where do you want to go next? It's always nice to ask, what do you think? Some friends tend to move a little bit slower, but we can ask if you want to ask somebody to see their thoughts on a particular part. It's always okay to say, hold on. Breaks are important, whether it's a scheduled one or just needing to pause the story for a bit. You can just say, hold on. You can always say no. You don't need any justification. Just if something's not going and you just want to say no, just say it out. And you can always walk away. Although it might sound weird for a podcast, there's still an open door policy, whether it's whatever's happening. If you just need to walk away, you do what you need to, and I will not be offended. So those are the journeying tools. Dare, do you particularly have anything that you wanted to talk about with these, or add on, or any other tools you might want to implement, or just comments on these?
I think these are all very good, honestly. Yeah, I can't think of anything that's actively distressing to me or in anything. If spiders come up, I would like them to be brought up very, very quickly and then moved past, but that's about it for me.
Got it. I will keep that in mind as well. And of course, if anything does come up in fiction, we can either lean on these tools to help us navigate through it, or just kind of like cut and dry. Hey, let's cut it out like that. So yeah, now that we have that all set up, we can officially open our scene onto this journey and answer some questions to help us get a visual of where we are. So, for your reference on the Google Slides, I'm on page, I guess it's 65 of it. It's the, yeah, that one right there. And in the first question, which has quickly become one of my favorites, is what season is it? We can talk about this in an abstract way if you want. We can look at the in-fiction seasons within the game. We can also turn the seasons up on their head. We've had things like reverse autumn where... reverse autumn, which was in springtime, the leaves were getting more red and orange instead of green. We've had really tall grass. We've had, instead of leaves falling, them bursting into little puffs of smoke that float up into the air, that scatter different minerals that then cause the snow to be weird sparkly colors. We can get as wild as we want with them, or as generic. But for your first thought, is there any particular like colors or seasonal feeling that you want to lean towards within this story?
I'm thinking Dog Days of Summer. Like,
ooh, okay.
When you can feel the occasional cold wind sort of sweep through. Mm-hmm. And like, you can, if you're eagle-eyed enough, you can sort of spot some leaves beginning to brown. But also, it's still mostly warm days and warm nights. But at night, if you're up late enough, you'll get that cold 3 a.m. like chill of fall on its way.
Ooh, okay. I really like that. We'll see some of those winds going through. For reference for some suggestion in the actual kind of months and seasons of here, there is a month called Devil Days, which is in the season of Bright, where the sun heat becomes near unbearable. If you want, we can go with something like that. There are also technically more rules to actually building out a month if we want to, but we don't need to. We don't need to sit too long in them if we do not wish.
I think as long as it's a time in which there's a lot of light, so I can then best see things to write about. I think during winter, my poetry slows down to a degree because it is still, it's just cold and it's harder to traverse. And I think during like these are like my peak seasons where I'm really like the most on my like making several poems a day.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Then I like that. We are in the season of Bright, maybe nearing the end of Devil Days. Where the sun is just bright and hot during the day, but every so often at night we can get a nice breeze running through that cools us down. Okay, I like that a lot. So I'll type that in, and right, hot sun, lots of light, but occasional cool breezes. Wonderful. Keeping those visuals in mind, what do you feel is the place that we just traveled from, or have an idea on potentially where we just traveled from? either a literal physical place, maybe we were at a location together, getting away from the heat and the sun, or contemplating over something, or maybe a more metaphorical mind space where we've just left from.
I'm imagining some sort of like, I was gonna like the opposite of a hot spring, like essentially a cave that like is actively sought out because it is cold, and it's like a very like gem filled like glistening location, and like when you need to when devil days are truly at their worst, it, you know, that's when you're gonna go to just like get some like sharp cold.
Yeah, maybe people don't fully know why, but somewhere off in the distance of that cave, it's connected to a icy wind somewhere.
Yes,
or like dew drips down off of these
some secret crystals. Underground glacier or something like that. Something just truly fantastical.
Yes, I like that. I'm sort of imagining maybe like a tavern that got set up in there where they've put cups underneath these dripping crystals, which I guess kind of sounds gross, maybe.
It's like coffee. You just have filters.
Yeah. And as like the water runs down the crystals, it like cools off and then drops in the glasses and people can come get that.
Yeah. It's just like a glacial spring, I guess.
Hmm. Yes. Okay. This is super cool. I like that. Glacial spring. Okay. And then do we feel our journey has been long? Whether that's a question of your individual journey or our journey together, how are you feeling about that? How's Baldwin feeling on the length of this journey?
I think it's not quite cold, so I think it's the point where the final sprint's coming closer to them. I think when like fall truly begins to hit, that's when they start getting the most focused on like, all right, I have to document and get as much as I can, and like write as much as I can before it becomes a lot harder. So okay. I think they're like, this is still, it's not the end of school, but it's like a month before the last month of school, and you can feel it.
Yes. Oh my gosh, when those weeks just go on and on.
Yeah, it's that of like it's about to get to like the fast-paced stressful part, but for now it's just sort of feeling long but not in a bad way.
Okay, I like that. I think the journey has felt long for Mina as well, or I guess in similar but also contrast, because upon meeting you, there's been a lot more moments for contemplation, and whenever she has space to think, sometimes she'll get sad thinking about her best friend back home. So it's maybe sort of a mix, because while she's sad about that, she's also had the time to write more letters and draw pictures for Elicor, so... The long, sad, but maybe fulfilling.
Yeah. Baldwin's the type of friend that really is going to ask you pointed questions where you have to go like, I didn't want to think about that, but now I guess I'm here.
Oh, yep. Now that's all I can think about. Thank you. Okay. And then is there somewhere we hope to go? Kind of bouncing off that question I asked in the first statement. This can be a physical thing or a more metaphorical, metaphorical place.
Yeah, somewhere pretty empty and contemplative. I think whether that's like a particular like grove or swamp that's like just purely like quiet. I think something like that.
Okay. Then while it's still in my head, I definitely want to bring it up before I forget, because there, it might not be exactly what you're looking for, but there's a particular nature, if I can find it, called the Lagoon, which is a place of contemplation, introspection, and self-reflection.
Wonderful.
And if that is something you want to visualize, we can try and work that into the place we build. Whether it's something we want to explore at the beginning of this little view into our journey, or maybe kind of round off the end by visualizing that.
That sounds great, honestly.
Nice.
Like, for some reason, I did always imagine like there being some element of like water there as well. So yes.
Okay. Cool. I like it. Lagoons are cool. And just to like bring you up to the speed, since this is your first time playing, each of the natures has a specific like tagline, kind of like that brings to life either your own imagery, physically or metaphorically, and we weave together three natures to describe, or we don't even need to have three, I guess, just whatever we feel like we need. But we weave them together to kind of describe the place we're in and give the place the ability to not only exist, but interact with us back and kind of talk back, I guess, in its own special ways. So we can definitely add to that as we play, too. I'll type that into our slide real quick. Lagoon. Lagoon nature. Cool. And the last question, which we can either answer as prompted in our heads or speak it out loud. Will I someday find home?
Someday as in Will Baldwin find home?
Yeah.
I think currently, at least at this stage of Baldwin's life, I think the answer is no. I think Baldwin currently, they feel as if their job right now is to travel and fill the world with beauty and tell about it. And I think any place feels like it would be too dull for them for too long.
Right. And I think Mina says yes at this moment, because she's had the time to contemplate, and those thoughts about having to leave her best friend behind are getting to her. She's maybe putting a little bit more forward in her mind the search for the right tower. So she wants to find a home.
Love, Mina.
Okay, so we have kind of our visuals around us set up. We have our mindset of where we're coming from and where we're hoping to go to. Do you have a particular preference or idea on how we start the scene? Maybe we're either still in this glacial spring cave or just walking out of it.
I like the just walking out energy. That feels like a good place to start. Like if this was an episodic show, the episode always just begin on like as they're walking and leaving a place, whether seen before or not. Just referencing it, so this place always feels full of adventure.
Yeah, I like that. And I think then I will kick us off by doing something to gain a token. I'm going to do something kind without expecting anything in return. And I think as this scene begins, we maybe see Baldwin walking out of the cave first, a little bit ahead, And then Mina comes like clanking along with two glasses in her hands full of ice cold water. And just like, wait up. It's like kind of trying not to spill them, running towards saying, it's really hot out there. So I grabbed us. I grabbed us these two last cups. Yeah, we really want to make sure to stay hydrated. As my mom always said, a nice ice cube in the sun can keep the devil days at bay. And she hands you the other cup and like holds it up to like clink glasses.
I certainly clink back.
And she starts to take a sip, but is steadily walking along next to Baldwin as the two of them head out. And I'll mark a token down and essentially, I guess, kind of pass the narrative to you if you want to do something to gain a token as well. It could be a good way to get the ball rolling, or if you have any other idea to continue this scene in any way.
Well, Mina, one of the things that might help with that is, did you manage to save any ice as well?
She looks at the cup with like one sliver of ice bobbing in it, just slowly melting away.
So this is one of my favorite places. So I've done this a few times. It's you're all good. And I just reach into like one of my three really overfull pockets, and I do pull out like a bag of ice and like just hold on to this on your person and like help rub it to your head when you get a little too hot. It'll help keep you cool. They last really long from that cave. I don't know why. That's another thing to write about.
That is really interesting, as the sliver of ice melts away in her cup. Thank you. I'll definitely be sure to hold on to that. And she goes to her bag on her side. I think it's also a messenger bag, and pulls out a handful of letters and sticks the bag of ice in there and ruffles around for some other sort of partition so the ice doesn't just soak the letters. Thank you. That'll definitely help. But we probably don't want to stay too long in this direct sun.
No, it's absolutely horrid. I think this is just what Baldwin does when they don't really have a like true idea of where they're going, is they just start muttering a little bit to themselves. And I think at this point I will take a moment to marvel at something no one has seen before, and mostly just find a little like crook of shadow that we can maybe use to get out of the direct sunlight.
Oh yeah. Okay. What is, if you have an idea, is there anything in particular casting this shadow? Because also just that shadow by itself without anything could also be pretty cool too.
That's also horrifying in the best way. I wonder if it's just like a couple of very small like trees or something that are casting a way heavier shadow than they should.
Okay.
And just seeing like, that shadows normally aren't that dark, correct?
Mina like looks at her own shadow that she might have maneuvered to keep you in as well, as she walks towards and says, "Not that I've seen."
Interesting. Want to explore it? I could find some inspiration here, at least.
Yeah, it'll be good to get out of the sun as well. Let's take our rest here, and
I can. Would you like to go first?
Sure. And Mina takes a step in. And is anything in particular happening? Is this shadow perhaps bringing us into another place in a different way?
I would love that. That feels right.
Okay. Then as Mina is stepping in and maybe reaching out a hand for you to come as well, I would, if it's okay with you, I would like to bring the discussion to natures, perhaps?
Yes.
On page 137, or page 147 of the PDF, there is a list of all of the natures that we can choose from. There's six different categories, and there's six natures within each one. If you would like to, we can look at ones that intrigue us and pick ones from there, or just kind of use some dice to randomize where we go.
Is there anyone that's particularly speaking to you first? Because I am a fan of the randomness, just because it means we can sort of tell a story and figure it out as we go.
Let's stick with the randomness, since we've already kind of established that the lagoon might be where we end up.
Yeah.
So we can each, how about each of us roll 2d6, and that can determine the other two natures that we explore.
Okay.
Dice. Here we go. Ooh, interesting. And the two numbers can correspond to the big name and the little name in any method you want. So don't feel like you have to stick to the first number being the big nature.
I think I found one that feels very, very perfect to me.
All right. What do we got?
I got ruin. I got the desolate nature, and then I got a 6 and a 5. So I got desolate and ruin. The other one would have been a moor, which is also, the universe wanted me to find something very quiet.
I like that. And in contrast, I rolled a 4 and a 6, which is a university.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And potentially it's an abstract way of thinking about it, because all of these natures we can take to be physical if we want, but we can also make them more metaphorical as just wherever we're going has the feel of this place. The example the book gives is that like the chalklands might literally be a hillock, but as you explore might feel like a swamp. Wonderful. So we can feel free to bend them however we want. Is out of those two, is there a particular one you would like to start with that maybe you feel we're stepping into as this shadow kind of comes over us, or not to get off topic again, but what does it feel like as we go through?
I think it's really sudden, honestly. Like, I think it slowly crawls. It crawls up to you relatively quickly. And next thing you know, you're somewhere else. Whether or not you're literally getting swallowed by the shadow, it's such a heavy one it casts. It feels that way. And as you pass through it, it's like pitch black, at least for a second there. Which sort of gives that feeling of, you don't know if you've literally teleported or metaphorically, but it just feels, the energy changes instantly.
Yeah, and do our eyes kind of adjust by like clearing as if like we had like spots in there? We're seeing now. Or is it more of an instant kind of like through there for our visual?
I like the taking a second to just sort of like it feels so out of place that your brain needs a second to adjust to like, wait, we were just like right here a second ago. This feels completely different.
Yeah, and it kind of takes that bit to get it back in focus. Okay. I like that. So we have two options to build up right now, or I guess potentially if we want to step into the lagoon, we can as well. For a university or a ruin.
I think it'd be fun to sandwich the university in between, as that one feels like the one that will like bring more, I think, levity and put us both in a place that feels more of like an energy we can both sort of find together. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, this university really combines like a lot of people and writing and like stuff that we can both find very fascinating in like that way, because it's full of like everything versus mm-hmm. like, oh, let's start with quiet contemplative.
Yeah.
And then end there in a different way.
Okay. So then would you like to start with the lagoon?
I think the ruin would be fun to start, because I think we can feel more surprised with this one. Just like the lagoon, I think, can feel more warm.
Fair enough. Okay, so let's step into the ruin. On page 148 or page 184 or 194. Do you want to read that little tagline of the ruin, and we can start building out the things that the place can do and what we see around us?
Yeah. Ruin. A ruin is a once gleaming place that has fallen into disrepair and collapse. This place can always describe what used to be here before, show consequences for the actions of the past, ask, do you know what once mattered here, and give them a token if they don't.
Ooh. Okay, I have a potential suggestion. I don't know if it's, but I guess before we finish out, just because it's on my head, if it's too out of left field for this to describe what used to be here before, maybe tying it into that university somehow. Like, is this maybe a rundown or broken university?
I'd be fine with that. That's I love that.
Okay, I like that. Also, okay, just since it's in my mind, really wild suggestion. Did we perhaps somehow step into like a future where we're seeing the end of this university, and as we play, it will step into its past as the university and then potentially go to the lagoon it used to be?
Oh, yeah, I love that. I absolutely love every part of that.
Okay, cool. Because also, if that's just like, if that doesn't sound like something you want to explore.
Oh, no, I'm a poet who finds beauty in stuff. I think that's exactly the type of stuff that I'd love.
Cool. All right. I'm excited for that then, as we maybe even step out of a shadow in this place of, oh gosh, what's a good marker for university? Like, I don't want to just say like a broken down library, but
it could be the sign or the banner.
Okay, yeah. And we see just like this, maybe it's like a stone plate or something that is like broken in half and casting this weird shattered shadow that we step out of, and we just see like a faded away insignia on part of it. Okay, and all of that not to get ahead of ourselves. Would you like to talk about some aesthetic elements that that we might see here?
I mean, crumbling pillars feels fun, but I also like monuments to arrogance.
Ooh. Is that have something to do with, like, knowledge that we shouldn't have tried to look for? Or something else?
I think if we're going to play with the idea of future stuff, this might be knowledge of information we don't know yet and has not happened yet, but things that, if this is like the future version of this university, will happen or can happen.
Okay. Dang. I like that. is as we're walking, is there a particular one that comes to mind or visual of that? Or are we just kind of like seeing a general array of things that were like, that sounds weird. I've never heard of that before.
I think like it'd be very fun of like if there's a place that's been explored before and now it's like a sprawling metropolis or something in this where we've reached and in this future university.
Yeah. Let me think. Oh, yes. Okay, I have something really good. The place where Mina is from, where she left her best friend, is called Rosewalk. And I had previously said it was like tucked away on a bay. Perhaps this is a future of Rosewalk that we are seeing.
Wonderful. I love it.
Because that has some really great implications if when we step back into the present
for Mina. Yeah. That's incredible. I love every part of this.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, ooh, oh, yeah, I'm going. I really like that. And we haven't necessarily noticed yet, but that's part of it. Maybe the audience notices by us walking past like a certain, you know what it is? We walk past Elicor's house.
Ooh.
Because I had a visual of that in the first episode I did of this tall, thin house smushed between other buildings. And I think we see those other buildings have like rotted and fallen away. And the audience knows what's happening, but we haven't realized yet. Okay. And the next aesthetic element, if I were to pick one, I'm maybe potentially juggling the last grieving survivor, but I'm not sure if that's something you want to build into.
I can play.
Whether you want to have more people interaction here or just our own view of this ruin.
I can play in the space of another person.
Okay. Then I'll type that in. Okay, then the last thing to choose is a folklore about this place. Do you have an idea of one of these? We don't fully have to either choose one or explore them at all, but potentially it's something that we see to tie together.
I think if we're going to keep playing with time, I think there is a piece of old folklore that details what this moment is right now.
Oh.
I think we are the folklore and we don't know it.
That's really interesting. Okay. I think maybe. Oh, yeah. Go on.
I think like the folklore piece is called the Tale of Time Swept Travelers.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. You didn't just do that, did you?
I absolutely did.
Yes. Oh my gosh, we're getting time is cool. I'm so down for it. I'm typing that in.
This is a weird episode and I love it.
Oh yes, I'm here for it. And weird or not, it's definitely not. It's amazing. Oh, yes. Okay, I'm here for it. To bring us back, though, talking about our true travelers who were time swept into this place, what is... What is your first reaction? What does Baldwin do when seeing this place that we've stepped into?
I think initially it feels like it's a lot colder, and I think the shift in temperature is enough that it feels it's not the pleasant kind of quiet wind. Like, it feels just a little bitter. It's just like, when I wanted it to be colder, this isn't really what I had in mind. Mina, how are you holding up, by the way? It's colder than I expected.
Oh gosh. I think you look over at Mina and she is shivering a little bit, because what we see is, you know, we didn't know we stepped through a time bubble, but I'm sure the ice in my bag did. Her leg is completely soaked with just instantly melted ice.
Mina, do you want my coat, my cloak? It might help you warm up a bit.
That's very generous, but I don't want to take that from you. You shouldn't be cold either.
Yeah, but I'm able to at least say words without shivering. Maybe we'll trade off if I need it more, but I think you could use it more right now.
Okay. Thank you. And she takes it and. I think based off of our differences, our size differences, she kind of just like ties it around her waist.
Exactly. It's pretty much good to cover that one leg.
But it calms her enough, if not strictly from the cold, the warm gesture calms her down and says, "Oh, thank you. That was weird. I don't mean to be rude about the cool ice you gave me earlier, but I thought it wasn't supposed to melt.
It normally lasts for quite a while. I've had some that can last for at least a few weeks if I need them to.
Huh. Maybe that shadow did something? Strange.
This world is strange and beautiful. Maybe a poem about fire would help? I can get to work on writing one. If that might help you.
Perhaps, but I wouldn't want to put any undue work on you just to help myself.
The dancing embers grace the wind. No, that won't work. And it's a decent amount of that for a little bit there. Yeah. Just like, it may have even descended just saying like, warm, like good adjectives to describe warmth, and it's less of a poem and more of just an abstract, incomplete thought.
Okay. Mina still likes that, I think, and as we're walking through this place, is she's looking around, like, I don't know where we are, but I get this odd feeling that I've been here before. Are you feeling that, Baldwin?
Oh, it seems a little bit to be like, is it deja vu? It does feel an ounce of familiarity, but I wouldn't be able to place this. I normally don't hang out with places so ruinous on my best days.
Yeah, that's not something I usually spend my time doing either. Although, I guess a story can be told about them either way. But I don't find myself in places like this too often.
I much prefer the quiet of like the rolling like and ripples of wind, and less of ones of buildings. And this is, it's not the most pleasant. It's not the least either. It allows me to think, but it's not pretty to look at. I mean, it's beautiful in it's beautiful in its disarray and beautiful in the way nature's been reclaiming it, but it's not beautiful in its peace. You feel like something happened here, or yeah. At least I do.
And maybe to like point to that a little bit more, a sign that was like hanging off of its hinges falls.
Perfect.
Just in the background. It's definitely a feeling that I'm not used to. But, you know, I'm getting a little better now that the cold is going away. Perhaps we can find something useful if we keep searching, a place to rest.
Oh, absolutely. Let's keep looking.
And I would potentially like to bring to the conversation the introduction of this survivor, this grieving last survivor in this ruin. What are your thoughts on maybe finding them in a moth tower, like a broken down moth tower?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think one place that Mina either would consciously decide to go, or maybe subconsciously, us knowing that this is a future of Rosewalk, just navigating down these paths, and we're standing in front of this stone tower that the top has, it's just not there. It's crumbled. Does that sound?
Oh yes, I love it. Okay. No, I absolutely love it.
Well, cool. Would you like to take the steps to build the kith right now, or just kind of roll in with some scenes and see if they make themselves known?
I'm down to roll with some scenes first, if you prefer.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds. It's like good. Maybe we can get a few scenes in there, a token or two, and then find where we find them. I think seeing the tower, at least at first, Mina like is just paused, staring at it. Maybe she was walking a little bit faster than Baldwin, and when they catch up, she just kind of like slumps to her knees and says, "This, I've seen ruined towers before, but this still just doesn't feel right. Maybe this is just my brain, but maybe there's a letter there."
I mean, letters are your way of sort of connecting to the world around you. I'm furiously trying to write something that may help us, so you can absolutely find something that you have that may help.
Okay. And I think taking that scene and slowly panning it forward a bit, Mina is going to leave an offering to a small and forgotten god as we don't need to visualize it in the scene, but she sees a chrysalis or nest of moths that have been broken by the stones falling. And she, while you're working on your poem, she pulls out a letter, and maybe it's still a little soaked for a little bit of comedic relief, but she starts writing on it and gives these moths a letter to help them. And pays that offering and gains that token. As Mina is doing that, is there? Would you like me to keep pushing on? I can vocalize some things here, or is there anything that Baldwin comes in with?
I think Baldwin's still just sort of at work at this moment, and sort of these are the moments when Baldwin, like when the guidebook helps, because Baldwin starts turning inward, and this is where the contemplativeness really shows.
Yeah. maybe they're referencing the guidebook every now and then as they write. Okay. And I think in that moment still, Amina will just say something a little bit like, I'm sorry. It hurts me to see you in this manner, but I hope that this can help you in a way that you have helped me. And she lays the letter down and slowly goes to turn and stand up. And perhaps that is where we see a shadow in the wreckage, a animal folk form peeking around a pillar of some sort or through a empty moth perch.
I love it. I am absolutely, I'm loving it.
Just kind of like timidly peeking around. Do we have an animal folk in mind or an animal form in mind for this particular person, this NPC or Kith? If you want, I can take the lead with it.
I'm wondering. I feel like something small, like in terms of like an animal that would often be parsed as such.
Mm. So on my random animal generator at the moment that I pulled up, one thing that came up, a small one is a gopher. It's also right next to a polar bear, which if we want to make a tiny polar bear could be cool.
I mean, I like the tiny polar bear. I like the polar bear a lot. Okay. I think it does lead into like this ruins in a very interesting way.
Yeah. Okay.
Like it's cold. It's fun.
A tiny little polar bear. Let me get there and write us in. We don't have to have a name and pronouns at the moment, but other than their presence here, do you have an idea for a quirky trait or a small identifiable descriptor, a job that they have or had?
Are there any traits in particular we were thinking about for them?
The ruin nature gave the trait of grieving, which is one of the traumatized traits, which they're generally kind of more heart, like harder themes, so we don't have to push into them if we don't want. But a grieving Kith freshly mourns the loss of their love.
I was also looking at Lost.
Ooh, okay. Let me take a look at that one.
It's in the same section.
Yeah. A lost Kith has forgotten how to get back home. Ooh, okay. Would you like to... I'm definitely down to play in the space of two of these traits if we want. So we can do both lost and grieving if you feel like that is a space we want to explore.
Oh yeah. I am down.
Cool. I always want to ask is if you haven't noticed, I've been trying to take on a little bit softer of a tone to give the space to breathe for these more sadder scenes as a way for myself. So I definitely don't want to push over in too much of a space that would not be productive. But for now, yeah, but let's go with the lost and grieving. Do we feel like they were maybe... Since we're going into a university as the potential next place, were they maybe a professor at the university? Or
yes, I like that.
Okay. I like that too. So maybe they, maybe they're wearing a tweed jacket. I don't know. That's kind of a professor thing.
Yeah, like the blazer with the little patches.
Yeah, elbow patches, maybe some shoulder pads in there. and yeah, okay. So to build out a kith, let me type this in there. Tweed vest, shoulder pads, and elbow patches. Lost and grieving. So looking at the lost trait, would you like to pick one or two things that they can always do from that list?
I think, like, I think express the disconnect. Mm. And seek out the help are both ones I'd like to see. My dream scenario is we bring this kith back with us.
Ooh, that's really cool. Maybe that's why they're lost. Maybe they are also somebody who got lost in this time loop as well, just at a different place in time.
Yeah, just this sort of, like, the shadow can sometimes grab someone can like step through the shadow, and then that person's ends up lost. And it's not that they're lost in the, you know, like, traditional sense, but they end up lost in time or in place. So it's way harder to find somebody that way.
I have a really good potentially introductory scene for them just based off of that as well. I think in this moment where Mina was fishing through to find that letter, some of the postage stamps that she had been drawing fell out of her bag, and this polar bear kith notices that, and as they make their way out, they notice a familiar stamp, because whoever this professor was potentially taught Mina's friend Elicor at some point in the future. The future of our past that we left from.
Yes.
In the middle section, maybe this professor was
the what will.
Yes. I'm thinking this professor was, like, in the university and stepped into the shadow to find this ruined future, which can kind of fill into that lost thing, perhaps, and whoever this was recognizes those stamps because one of their favorite students collected stamps, and that was one of theirs. Oh, okay. In perfect time movie kind of trope, they have to pull out the exact same stamp.
Oh, wonderful. Yes.
Okay. Cool. That image is in my head. Sorry for just rolling around with that.
This is beautiful.
Let's give a name and some pronouns to this kith now. If you have a name in mind, you can go for it. Otherwise, I can toss around some stuff. My usual method of naming is looking in my room until I see a thing and then massaging it in my mouth until I find a name.
This is always the hard part.
Yeah. Let's. How about, I don't know if this sounds like a name to you, Urbell? URBELL?
I like it.
Do you have an idea on the pronouns for Urbell?
She, her.
Okay. I like that.
A very nice maternal, like, teaching energy.
Mm-hmm. I had a potential idea for maybe they're more fluid in transition through she, her to other in between.
I am of course down with that as well.
Wonderful. She'll start coming out though for now and picking up that the stamp. And we can feel free to voice her in any way we want. We can toss them back and forth if you have a particular idea for a way that they might introduce themselves or speak in a scene. Feel free to take the the reins on that.
I think the introduction was perfect, honestly.
Mm.
Of like the leading in with the presenting of the envelope, or of the stamp rather.
Yeah.
Maybe I think it conveys everything about this place and how we're lost.
Yeah, maybe we get this, we get a statement of them pulling out the stamp, the same stamp, and looking at the one on the paper and saying, I know this stamp. And she's probably holding tight and refusing to let go of the one that Elicor had gifted. And that's one of the things that a grieving Kith can do. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are, but where did you get this? Mina probably slowly is turning around, but I don't think she has said anything yet. She's still kind of like shocked and in this moment where her head is trying to rationalize what's going on.
Oh, hi, by the way. What's your name?
Hello. I'm so sorry. I didn't see you there. It's been a while since I've seen any other people around here. My name is Urbel. I'm a professor here at, I guess this is still the university, but I don't remember. Yes, you can call me Dr. Urbel, and he'll reach out a hand for a shake, still clutching the stamp closely. And you are?
Oh, I'm Baldwin. I'm just a bit of a traveling poet and writer. It's nice to meet you. You said this is a university. I think it may be closed.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know how long it's been now, but I remember I was grading a particularly hard essay, and I needed to get my breath and step out to gather my thoughts and really contemplate what this student was trying to say, and I saw this, I guess, a tree of some sort. And you know, it was one of those really, really hot days of Devil Days that was beating down, and I stepped in the shade for respite, and when I finally gathered my thoughts, I found this in ruins.
Your story's lining up quite similar to ours, actually. We had just finished enjoying a nice cold spring, and we were just sort of unwinding from the heat, and found just a nice, what we thought was a nice little place to get shade, and my friend Mina and I, we end up here.
Huh. And I think at hearing the name Mina, they kind of like their little polar bear ears perk up a little bit and look and say, "That name sounds familiar. Mina. Where have I heard it before?"
Tall rabbit?
I don't believe we've met. And, you know, she goes over to where Mina is standing and extends a hand upward. And I guess it was a popular name. Maybe it's one that my partner and I were debating to name our child. That might ring a bell. Oh, they had a lot of names in mind, though, so maybe not. I'm getting beside myself. Anyway, Mina, it is a pleasure to meet you. And Mina looks back and says, "Oh, of course. I'm sorry. The stamp. How? This is one that I've drawn on my journey. How do you have it? I was planning to send this to Elicor. Next time I send out a letter."
I think I'm just sort of, Baldwin just sort of taking all of this in, and it's just so, like fiercely scratching and writing stuff. Are you fans of folklore by any means?
Oh, I've been known to teach a few in my day. I am a professor in tales in stories, twisted around or given new life based on who you're telling them to or who you've learned them from. Why do you ask? They've piped up a bit more excited.
Do you ever hear the tale of the time-swept travelers?
The time. Oh my goodness. Maybe that's... Oh, that makes sense. The essay I was telling you about, my student, Elicor, my student, they were writing about a folklore that I hadn't heard it before. I thought that they maybe had heard it from somebody else or just in travels, but it had that title and I had to step out to just wrap my head around the nuance of it all, how everything came together. And now that you think about it, you know, this, oh gosh, and they kind of break down crying a little bit. Not necessarily crying.
I didn't mean to make you sad about it, but do you know how that story ends?
I have it right here, but that and I think he goes to pull something out of a pocket, and in the same way that the ice had melted for Mina, I think this paper comes out crumbled and patchy, and like going to dust. And they just kind of slump down and not necessarily sobbing, not crying, but just like deep breathing and letting out in this grief of emotion, saying, "This is the future of the university. How did where?" And the paper is just kind of like brittle in their hands.
I think I'm going to spend the token I gained earlier from basking, to find some the token earlier, to provide a solution for an immediate problem. And to which I think in the guidebook I have, and time's really screwy with all this. We don't have to explain it. It's magic in time. I think the story is written near the middle of my guidebook, so it took me a second to think about it because it's not one of my. I don't have it fully remembered. It's like, well, the thing is, in that story, I have it written down right here as well. They all managed to find their way home. I always found this one a little interesting. I always was worried that, it feels a little too pleasant of an ending sometimes, felt a little contrived, but what if it ends like that because that's just we managed to get out of here.
Huh. And her shoulders kind of relax a little bit as she's probably sitting in a polar bear sit on their butt squat with paws in the middle of the legs sprawled out, and shoulders just relax and go, that is relieving. But how do we get out? How do we get back?
I think I will leave an offering in which I will sort of write or make a poem and sort of write it and sort of burn it as some sort of offering.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it written if you'd like.
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
I've named this one The Stone Ruins. Large great tower, what did you see? You reached far and high and brought guidance for free. My large rabbit, often wrapped in doubt, could you please bring us wisdom to help us out? And yeah, I think I offer that as sort of a words for help to whatever may listen to us.
Yeah, I have a suggestion to bounce off of that as well on how this scene might shift. As that happens, I think we're focused on that, and it goes up and gives a little bit more of a calming air into the room we are. We settle a little bit more, and at kind of the same moment, the letter that Mina had placed with the chrysalises begins to shimmer blue, and I'm also going to be spending a token to help find a solution as coming out of spectrally coming out of one of these chrysalises is this I guess spectral moth that picks up the letter and starts flying past us, its wings dropping glitter of sorts that solidifies that comfortable feeling in the room. And as it begins to leave the doorway of this broken down tower, more come in its wake, just coming up and fluttering by. And as they start to move, they begin to solidify a little more. And it's almost as if we're seeing a shift of this place, turning back time to the university. And suddenly we're standing in, all three of us standing in a fully structured moth tower, watching this group of five beautifully colored moths passing by carrying letters.
Beautiful.
And that might be a good way to transition into the university. the university nature, if you want to start thinking about that. And to be a little open about where we're going. How do we want to feel about time and pacing for this? Because we have, I like the time we spent in the ruin. We have spent a decent amount of time.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time there.
I like what we got though, and we can continue to build out in a similar manner if you wish, or just kind of like pass a little faster through the ruin or through the university, get a point here or there that sets off Urbel's plot story,
yeah,
and then move on to the lagoon.
Yeah, I think that we might have to do it that way. My time is a little short today.
That's totally fair. Then let's, what we'll do is I'm going to turn to the university nature, and we can give a few visual, auditory, sensory, like, descriptions of it, us going through and talking about an ending where for Urbel, maybe we drop them back off at their office or help them grade a paper or something before we transition into the lagoon for our own introspection.
Yeah, I think that works.
Okay. Do you have an idea on something that Urbel says or does, like, right when we get back, like when we realize that, oh dang, we're back, or air quotes back, because we don't necessarily know yet, at the university?
I think statues of the founders in all their glory as an aesthetic element would be very fun, of just seeing like a lot of those structures, like, in the way they're meant to be seen.
Yeah, okay. So we do see those and you know, kind of not regal looking, but well polished looking, just kind of like lining outside of the Moth Tower, maybe, and seeing them in those, that glory, and Urbel maybe starts to like take off, like running and being a bit more static.
Urbel?
Oh, we're here. We're back. It worked. I've got it. And you know, she pulls out the essay and checks it. And it's back in its condition. I've got to get this to my office. Come on.
Breathe as you walk, please. You can't seem super panicked. People. And I just start like trying to follow behind.
And Mina tentatively walks as well. And, you know, perhaps outside of the grieving mood, Urbel is more of an upbeat person, a little bit eccentric. So some of the students there might know when they see them coming to get out of the way. And we kind of walk through this tunnel of students and make our way to their office. And I'm pondering in my mind the scene here. We don't have to focus on it too much so we can get to our introspective lagoon, but what do you think is the moment where we kind of start to realize that we are not even back to where we are from yet, and maybe start to shift there?
I think that the question is the university is still more forward in time than we are?
I think so, because I'm imagining it having like sparked from the town where Mina was from, Rosewalk, and then kind of like made the town boom.
Yeah, I think the thing that maybe sits for, I think it may be funny, of there's a small guidebook or a journal or something, like a collection of that written by Baldwin, that is on like the shelves. It's like,
Yes. I was going to say, maybe this professor has like some of your texts and poems as well. Ones that you haven't written yet.
Yes. And I refuse to look at this book at all.
Do you tell Mina about it?
I think I like see the name and like the name. I probably read like the little insert, and then I'm just like, I think I wrote this or I will write this. So we may still not be quite home yet.
Huh. And I think that registers for Mina a little bit as she walks in, but it hasn't like processed yet. And Urbel is still frantically like getting to the desk and like writing out notes and things. And I don't know the exact dialogue of it, but Mina brings back the Elicor point, noticing that their name is on this paper and has a brief conversation with Urbel about it. And somewhere in there, it clicks for her that this is still in the future. This is strange.
I think this is Baldwin's moment to sort of have the like, huh. Like this part never gets mentioned in the story.
Yeah. Is that maybe something you jot down then?
Yes, immediately.
Ooh, okay, something cool then maybe as you jot that down. I don't think Urbel notices, but maybe like an extra paragraph gets added to Elicor's essay.
Wonderful.
And we can still sit in this moment for a little bit more if you want, but I think the way that we start heading back, not to be a little Wizard of Oz-esque, but Mina is thinking in her head the whole like, I want to go home. I want to find Elicor because, you know, this is like that culminating experience. I think she's realized that this is the future Rose Walk. Like the university symbol is like a rose or something. I don't know. and potentially that helps start that merge again.
I'm absolutely here for it. I think you do see Baldwin. I think Baldwin actually just skims the book and finds a particular page and just quickly pulls it out. And you know, Baldwin's not quite sure if it will even survive the time jump stuff. But they're really hopeful it will.
I love that. Because we don't know how it works. It seems to be selective on certain things.
I think if I want to spend a token to give something that's potential to change someone fundamentally.
Yeah.
So this one will survive the time jump.
Ooh, okay. I like that as well. I like that a lot. And perhaps as after that's happened, that same sort of like shifting starts to occur where, I don't know, maybe we see Urbel get up and be a little spectral and walk out of her office backwards and time seems to start to rewind as buildings get deconstructed. That's the word I was going to say, unbuilt before our eyes. And as before we realize it, we are standing in front of this large bay, this lagoon, looking out over the calm waves with a much smaller town of Rosewalk behind us.
Do we think we made it now?
I'm not sure. Let me actually, I think I have an idea. And Mina fishes through her bag and pulls out her moon chart and looks up and silently does some calculation or something and comes back and says, yes, I think so. By the position that the moons are in right now, it looks like we are at least in the right season where we're meant to be, heading past of Devil Days and looking like we may see an early moon dance in the middle of Gateling, but I don't know. And just lets out a sigh.
I think I also sigh. And Baldwin looks and is like, I wrote something about the moth we saw.
Oh, really?
It may have helped. I feel the poems are my sort of lucky charm. And this one's called Beacon. On glittering wings you brought us home. We spent so long away to roam. We ended up lost in a world away. Thank you for bringing us from tomorrow to today.
Ooh. Mina lets out another sigh as well. And I think with this lagoon in front of us, it kind of like weirdly echoes and like sails across the water on little ripples. And she just sits down, just crisscross, sit down with a lagoon's aesthetic element, a well-worn path stretching out behind her into Rosewalk.
Wonderful.
Do we want to kind of give another kind of overarching scene or view here where we let those breaths and sighs ripple, or do we feel like this might be the place for the end block to drop?
I mean, for an aesthetic element, I super love a grotto.
Ooh, okay. What is creating this hidden grotto?
I think it is maybe another sort of glimmering cave.
Oh gosh, does it have familiar elements?
Yeah, I think it's similar to the one we left at the start of this episode. But like it's, I think the sort of warmth it gives off is, it's not chilling in the way that's relaxing, but I think it's offers like a nice temperate, like you can just sort of, you can relax without worrying about getting too cold.
Yeah. Oh gosh. That just, okay, that, this might be completely not interesting, but that just gave me the thought with, we don't even know at the beginning if we were in current time or not.
Oh, absolutely
what if,
not.
What if that cave was step after the ruins?
I love that, and we'll never know.
We will never know, and that's truly the best
part.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's time stuff is beautiful for this. Especially when you don't have to worry about the mechanics. Uh-huh. It makes everything else so much more fun.
Oh gosh. You know, I honestly never thought that I would have done any time stuff in this, but it's great.
I have a tendency to throw time stuff in stories I like. It's never intentional. It happens.
Oh, that is so cool. And is that kind of just like the view with Mina's sigh, like cascading off of the ripples and this cave in the distance?
Yeah, I think exactly that.
Oh my gosh, and that's when the scene closes. Wow, that is so cool. Oh my gosh.
I think I have one sort of last scene for yeah. us, which is yeah. just sort of as we like our parting eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, not too long after this. And the sort of question of like, where will you go? It's like, well, if you're ever there's these two trees you can't miss called the Star-Crossed Lovers. And I wrote a story about it once. But also, I want to just give you this little note. Is Mina a hugger?
I think so.
I think Baldwin's nervous to do it, but we'll give like a little side hug, as you know, it's the issue with the hedgehog. I'm just afraid.
Is it potentially a way of Mina to spend that last token to kind of like pull you in for a full hug, or is that?
Yes, I love that.
Regardless of whether there's spines or if they're down or not, yeah. She doesn't care.
Yeah, and I think that triggers the spend the token for me, which is the one that I wanted to give you, is that note from the future. As I searched through the book, I think I found, you know, like the dedication page.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a small little dedication poem. The title is A Letter from the Me That Will Be to the Who You Are Today. Dedicated to M.
Oh.
You are so much better than you think you are. In all of my travels and the words I wrote, the ones I dedicated to you were always the sweetest. And I think that's a perfect spot to sort of end, is like maybe you read that later on in the day after we've like already parted.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm actively tearing up here.
Oh no.
Oh, that's so good.
It's great.
Oh my gosh. Like, oh.
Time stuff is fun. I love it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was, I'm still just like processing everything. I'm trying to get to where my end stuff is. That was amazing. Oh my gosh. Yeah. While I'm processing that, I guess I'll say thank you and let you give actually another shill of your stuff, because listeners, if you liked that, please go check Dare out and follow her wherever. Tell them where you got this.
I'm good at this part. Hi, I'm Dare. This was a wonderful time. If you like what I do, you can find most of my socials on Twitter or TikTok at nbdare, E-N-B-Y-D-A-R-E. I do also write things. I have a book of poetry, and I also write tabletop games. If you go to my Twitter through my bio, you can find the link that links out to all of those. My book is Constantly Here, Constantly Queer. It's a book of poems. It's written about 3 years ago about my early feelings towards transitioning. I'm planning on revamping that with where I am now. I have a tabletop game about having a nice cookout with friends. It's GM-less. It's very fun. I very much like it. And I'm writing a few other ones. And if you like dice, I'm an affiliate through Die Hard Dice. So if you go to dieharddice.com and use the promo code NBDARE, you get 10% off of your next, your purchases. And that's everything for me.
All right. I'm a bit more calmed down from all of that, which is great. Please, listeners, follow Dare. but for those of you who are listening, again, thank you. To restate what this actually is, this has been Left Foot Forward, an actual play Wanderhome series on the Two's Company podcast. I am Daisy, who plays Mina, and if you like the show, I would love to hear it. If you do, you can send me a message on Twitter or something. They make my day. That link will be in the bio, in the episode description, I guess that's what it's called. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, it's also down there. And also, if you want to like leave a rating or review, some stars, that's great. If you like the show, I'm sure other people will too, and would like to hear those words as well. But all of that aside, just one big thanks again, Dare, for taking your time to do this and writing this beautiful story with me.
This was incredible. I have now immediately like sent a message to my home game of like, we're playing this game at some point now.
Yes.
You don't have a choice. We're gonna play some Wanderhelm eventually.
I love what this game does. Yes. That's my goal.
I love playing like indie tabletop so much. So this was, it wasn't a question of how hard I was gonna get bought in. I knew it was gonna happen.
It's so great. And I mean, just to restate my point that I usually always say, Jay did such a great job on this game. I mean, just look at the emotions we're feeling now. Okay, then to all you listeners out there, I'll see you next time, travelers.